So Sam, I'm on your Instagram here, right? And you make these incredible paintings. You teach other people how to do it. You're really successful on school. And also there's this amazing reel of you in a school shirt, just like cranking it out in the gym. It's so unexpected. Tell me about that and why that's so important to you.
Well, I go to the gym usually in the morning about like two or three times a week. I need to go more actually. I've just get so busy as well. But yeah, just that particular morning, it was quiet in the gym, and I guess I'd seen lots of other, like, you know, people I follow posting reels of them in the gym, and also on my Instagram. Well, I only ever really like post my art, so I just thought maybe it'd be cool if other people see some other aspects of my life and things I do. So yeah, I just set that up. It was by pure coincidence I was wearing a school t-shirt in the gym that morning. But yeah, but it's true though. I mean, I feel better when I go to the gym, and I think it definitely helps, you know, helps you to focus more as well. So yeah, I've been going to the gym. I mean, I'm not a big guy or anything like that, but I've been going to the gym on and off since I was about like 22, and I've just always just carried on going.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think it's funny how, you know, there's certain things that we don't associate with each other. So you've got these like beautiful, tranquil, just like out of this world painting. And then I think I read somewhere that it's like you also like to listen to Megadeth. And it's like, yo, yeah, this is awesome. I love the mix.
Yeah, I've been into metal since I was like about 15. Actually, yeah, when I started listening to Megadeth and bands, you know, other bands like Slayer, Metallica. Well, you know, that kind of like thrash metal era. I'm still listening to the bands I was listening to like when I was a teenager in my early 20s. So, and I'm now 45 years young now. So, that era, like 80s, 90s metal was awesome. I just think there's loads of good music because, I mean, I love other music as well. Like, I'm really into like 80s music, you know, 80s pop music and things like that. And just, I know the 80s, man. There's some brilliant music that came from that era.
So cool. I was listening to When a Blind Man Cries by Metallica earlier on. Yeah. Absolutely love it, dude.
Yeah.
Talk to us about painting. How did you get into it? And did you ever think that you'd be doing it full time, like being paid as a full time artist?
It was always my dream to become a full time artist. But now I've been painting ever since I was a child, and I always liked landscape art. I grew up in England, and yeah, you know, when I was at school, I was like, you know, the best at art in the class and things like that. And in England, when you leave high school, you do things like called A levels, basically. So it's like the sort of prequel to going to like university. And I did art for A level, and I got a really bad mark for it because I just wanted to paint landscapes. And they were trying to make me do all this like abstract stuff that I just wasn't into. And nothing against it or anything. It's just not my thing. Just, you know, modern art, a lot of modern art, I'm not into it. I don't get it. I still don't get it. I've always just liked that kind of traditional realism, landscape painting. My inspiration is from like 19th century painters especially. And then there's loads of cool modern day painters. But yeah, basically by the time I was 18, you know, also in high school, like the careers advisor sort of told me that I couldn't really make a living out of art. And, you know, the usual story, you know, the soul starving artist thing. So basically by the time I was 18, I kind of stopped painting after that. And then went to university, did that whole thing. I actually studied plant sciences. And then after that, I got a job at Kew Gardens in London. But then I quickly realized that there's not many jobs in science, and it's just not a viable career option for me. But I was inspired by the botanical artist there. So I briefly took up painting again when I was living in London. This was in my mid-20s. And then after that, I got a job in the USA working for a tree company, having never done tree work in my life. So painting went on hold, and I was working on a tree crew there, and then came back to London and was doing tree surgery there. So, where, you know, things like climbing London street trees and trimming them and all that kind of stuff. And then I started, I started painting again, partly because I just felt stressed out living in London. And then 3 months later, I moved to New Zealand. And the first thing I did when I moved to New Zealand was go to the art store and buy a load of paints, and it just carried on from there. So, I mean, I was still working full time. And yeah, what happened in the end was, I was working on a tree crew there. I hired a studio outside of my job. So I was painting in my studio, and I got offered a job up in Auckland doing tree consultancy. And I thought, I can't climb trees forever, if you see what I mean. And I'm like that. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, when they're in their sort of 30s and 40s, start getting out of the tree climbing, and they either go into doing tree consultancy or other things. But yeah, I was working this kind of corporate job in Auckland, and it was pretty stressful. It was a pretty stressful job. I didn't realize how office-based it was as well, and it was a lot of hours. And all I could think about was painting, and I really started realizing, I was like, man, there's got to be more to life than this. And I just felt really like lost and just out of balance, but just not knowing why. Mm. And I read this book by Eckhart Tolle called A New Earth, and it just blew my mind open. And then not long after that, I saw this documentary called The Greatest Scam in History. And it was like how the financial system worked, like summarized in a half hour video. And I was just like, that's the first thing about money I've ever watched that actually makes sense. It's like, no wonder I didn't, never really understood how it works. And it just, all this stuff, like years afterwards, I went down a few rabbit holes, but things just started turning up. And I just thought, I'm not going to go anywhere in this job, and just work in this career path. It's just a recipe for like misery and poverty, basically. And I just thought, I'd rather take my chances and go for being an artist. And I knew I needed some help. And I was fortunate that I met someone who mentored me with my art, and my artwork like really quickly improved. And it just went on from there. And then in 2017, I set up a YouTube channel. I moved down to a place called Queenstown in southern New Zealand, which is in the mountains, because I wanted to spend time painting. So I quit my job. All I did was I just picked up work as and when I needed it in Queenstown, nothing related to my sort of, career path, so to speak, as in my, my matrix career path. And it went on from there. And in the end, I set up a Patreon channel in 2020. I started selling videos off my website, and I was on Patreon for years. I still have my Patreon account, but I moved everything to school last year. So yeah, so really my thoughts were, selling paintings is really unpredictable, and I wanted a way that I could make money from my art without having to worry about selling paintings. Patreon was good and everything, but I could really start seeing the limitations of the platform. I hope this isn't going to make anyone liable here.
You're all good.
As I should have said, but it was fine for where I was at, if you see what I mean. But I needed something more, bigger, but in depth and more easy to use and stuff. And I'd unwittingly created all these courses over the years on Patreon. So last year, I actually joined a blogging course on school, called Blog Growth Engine, because I got a blog on my website. I've had that for years as well, because it's the way I get traffic and get people onto my email list. And within a few minutes of joining it, I'd never heard of school prior to that, but I just thought, man, this is so easy to use. And I just thought, this would be perfect for an online art school. And at the time, I was really thinking about it, and I was looking around at other platforms, and I just kept coming back to school. So in the end, I set up my school group, coincided when they set up the payment gateway that they've got on there. And yeah, I just moved everyone across from Patreon to school. So I was able to fully set out the classroom section with all my different courses, like painting landscapes, painting seascapes, the beginner's landscape painting course. And then the calendar function is just so useful, because one of the things I've really been doing a lot in the last couple of months is doing regular Zoom meetings. So I do them at least once a week. Sometimes I'll do a random pop-up one. But yeah, I'll do a mix of like painting live streams and painting critiques. So that's that's how I found school anyway.
It's incredible. I think it's really interesting how painting kept like rearing its head in your life over the years, like ever since you were young, you know, and it was almost like a whack-a-mole. It's like you kept trying to like put it down. It's like, no painting, bad, I can't make money from you, I'm going to become a tree surgeon instead. It's like, what? And then so you try all these different career paths and the painting keeps coming back, it keeps coming back. Yeah. Like obviously if you're reading Toll, you're into philosophy and things like that, like what's going on there, like whenever it comes to like your passion or like your life's purpose, like why do you think painting was like that with you?
It's always just something I've like doing. Like I just love the landscape. I just love beautiful landscapes, and especially being in New Zealand, it's just so inspiring. And it's I don't know how to explain it. I just feel like compelled to paint it. And there's just the other cool thing about being a landscape artist is like this never-ending project that you'll never finish. If you see what I mean, because you're always trying to, you're always seeing things. You're like, oh man, I'd love to paint that. And also as artists, we're always trying to make that painting like better than the previous one, right, as well. So we're always trying to improve. But yeah, there's just so much inspiring things to paint here in New Zealand. Not just New Zealand. I just find landscape. I think it doesn't matter where in the world I am or would live, I could find something inspiring to paint. For sure. So I just absolutely love painting, and I love inspiring others to paint, and I love teaching it as well. So yeah, that's where that's come from. I don't really know how to explain it really. It's just, but I mean, you're right in that I had this limiting belief that I couldn't be an artist for, you know, a very long time. And I thought, no, you know, better just, you know, do what you're supposed to do and you know, go to university. And not that I had a bad time at university, it was brilliant. I drank a lot. But university was right for me at the time, and I'm glad I didn't get into debt for it. But but looking back now, I don't know how relevant it is so much these days when you can get a education for a fraction of the price off YouTube or hiring a mentor for something, you know, something that you're passionate about. I think with the internet that times have really, really changed now, and you can like monetize something that you're passionate about. But yeah, with the painting, it kept popping up more. And I kind of subconsciously knew I was going to take up painting again. I just knew I was going to do it again. So, and I'm so glad I did. And the more that I've focused on the goals of being a full-time artist, is it's like more things have turned up to help me along the way.
What, like?
Well, even just meeting my mentor back in 2014, he's also my best friend as well. His name's Andrew Tischler anyway. He's a brilliant artist. He's definitely one of the best out there. But I was reaching out to, at the time, a lot of artists, and no one would help me at all, because I got to that point where my painting had plateaued and I knew I needed help. And because I've never been to art school, I was just struggling. And also, you know, there was other things going on in my life, like, you know, I was just unhappy in my job. He helped me. And he also asked if I wanted to help him run these two outdoor painting art tours. So it's a French word called plein air, which means to paint outdoors. So there were two plein air painting art tours in southern New Zealand. I was just like, yeah man, I'd love to do that. And just that literally just flicked a switch, and I was just like, this is what I'm meant to be doing. I'm not meant to be doing this job. And I just suddenly, it was like a weight had been lifted off me, because I'm like, I don't have to like try and climb the corporate career ladder anymore. Like I want to do. And yeah, that's how that happened anyway. And yeah, we ran the two art tours, and it was really awesome. And yeah, I really got focused on painting. And you know, it's taken me years to even get to where I am now with where I'm at in my business. And there's still a long way to go, man. I've had a lot of challenges. I'm still dealing with them. A lot of them are my own, you know, limiting beliefs that I've had that I'm working on at the moment as well. So it's been an exciting journey, that's for sure. I've learned a lot, and especially in the last, like 8-9 years sort of since I decided, no, I want to be a full-time artist. Just learn loads of things I never imagined, like, even things like how to edit a video, if you see what I mean. I never imagined that I'd be doing that. Yeah, making YouTube videos and, reels and shorts and things like that. So it's been awesome. But one of the main things I realized was that, and this is probably true of most artists, is most of them, they're not good salespeople. And I'm definitely like one of those people as well. So you've got to, I knew that this is something that I really need to learn. And I've really been, focusing on that. I've joined, a mentorship program, Contentpreneurs with Ted Carr, and that's been super helpful. And I think you just gotta, I've heard the same, but you just gotta get comfortable being uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And get yourself out of your comfort zone and do things you've never done before. So
whenever you think about those years where you weren't painting, or all those years before you went full time, like, I'm a big believer that like nothing's ever wasted, right? So what did you pick up in those years that have really helped you and kind of catapulted you forward in what you're doing now? Because, you kind of were stockpiling a lot of, I don't want to paint too gloomy picture, but like stockpiling a lot of pain and frustration and like, so there was that. But then there was also like, you were out in nature all the time. You were cutting trees. You were getting like up close personal with things that you probably paint all the time. Now, I think that's interesting.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether this is sort of appropriate topics for a podcast, but I had an alcoholic father when I was a child, and he died when I was really young. It's part of the reason I started painting, actually, because he would never let me go outside to play. So I used to spend all day drawing and painting and things. But I had a horrific time at high school. It was just horrible, just everything, even with what I'm learning now, I'm just like, it was just such a horrible environment for me, literally. And I came out of high school with zero confidence, man, just like, and it's like I've been fighting back ever since, and it's that I look at it now in a lot of ways as a good thing, because it's really given me that drive to like do better for myself. And I guess even going to like university, actually it did give me some confidence, and then I started trying to do more things, like traveling, for example. I'd one of the things I did on my when I was at university was I went to Mexico, because I had the opportunity to go there. And at the time when I went, I don't know why, I had this fear of flying as well, but I was just like, I really wanted to go. So I was just like, made myself get on that flight. And it's just like, these challenges I've had, it's like I've made myself do things. And I became more like open to opportunities, and like things like getting offered the job in America, which I don't ask me how the hell I managed to pull that off. I went to work for a tree company, having never worked on a tree crew in my life ever, and didn't even know what I was doing. But I was just like, I was really just on the lookout for an opportunity, and traveling there and going over there, just that, gave me more confidence as well, if you see what I mean. And, I think it's good in your 20s, if you're a guy, to like, perhaps do a job like working on a tree crew or something, like, just sort of like mans you up a little bit.
I worked as a bike messenger for 3 years, and I swear it was like the making of me.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, I once had a job on a building site when I was a student or whatever. It was like one of the best summers I've had, man. It was so, it was hard work and long days, but it was just like, fun working with those people and the banter and all that kind of, I think you don't get it, that kind of, banter, if you see what I mean, like working in an office environment.
No, it's different, man. The camaraderie's totally different.
Yeah. So, Yeah, I guess I just, you know, pushed myself to do more things. And I really started, realizing that, you know, you don't have to stay in the place that you grew up in, if you see what I mean. There's, the world's getting smaller and there's opportunities out there. So, yeah, and as I say, just with the painting, it really is always, you know, what I wanted to do. I mean, don't get me wrong, I enjoyed the tree work. I'm interested in plants anyway. I mean, I studied plant sciences. So, you know, I kind of wanted to still, you know, at that time, wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but being in that sort of green industry, if you see what I mean, that's part of the reason why I went into that. But I feel like it's, you know, if I look back at my life already, I feel like they were all like pieces of the jigsaw puzzle that were kind of meant to happen that have led me to where I am now.
Totally, man.
Sense, yeah.
So as you start to kind of like assemble those puzzle pieces, right? And you like close your eyes and you think about even like what the next 3 years will entail for you. Like, yeah. Where do you want to go with school? Because, you know, you've got a really big free community. You use that very Ted Carr style to put people and funnel people into your paid community, which is awesome. You're making a full-time living. You're literally living the dream that you have from when you were super young. You're not a starving artist. You're thriving. You're teaching other people. You sell your own paintings. You charge other people and teach other people to do that. But like, what's next? Because you just have this incredible asset, both in terms of the skill that you've been developing, your craft, but then also this kind of like community and this audience that you've just been nurturing and growing and growing. So like, I just feel like sky's the limit for you. Like, where do you want to go?
Well, I mean, I really just want to inspire people to paint and just help them. And because I see them having the same struggles that I was having. And I feel like all it takes is just having the right mentor and just having some things explained to you properly. And you know, very often it just clicks and then you can just run with that information. But I'm about to start doing, I've started doing one-on-one coaching, but I'm about to start a group coaching, like mentorship program. It'll just be like a 2-month program, and it'll get you back to basics with your painting, and I'll just show you a load of ways that you can, the idea is that you can quickly accelerate your painting skills so you can start either selling your art or making money from it, starting an online art business, or even if you wanted to teach it as well. And yeah, I'd like to inspire people doing that as well. So I'm going to run that program through school. I'm going to set up a school group for that. But yeah, really the whole thing is I just want to keep painting, and I just want to keep inspiring people to paint and just inspire people to, you know, focus on their passion. And if their dream is to become they want to paint full time, then they should totally focus on doing that and just ignore what the naysayers say, because there's always people that try and tell you you can't do it. But, you know, see someone as me, and there's other people that are living proof that you can do it. And just going back to schools, school is just so brilliantly designed. Just the whole, like, I just love it. I just think it's such an awesome platform. Like, you know, just the community section as well, the engagement is so much higher as well. You know, you've got people chatting to each other. I've got people sharing their artwork. So it's just a really inspiring environment. So it's just one of those, it's definitely one of those platforms where it can, as an artist, it can really help you. You can use it to help other people as well. And it, yeah, just a really inspiring place to be. That, you know, so the sky is the limit with using a platform like school. But yeah, I'd also like to help artists develop strategies. I mean, this is like looking long term, but, you know, maybe I can help them to start their own art businesses or sell their work online or make money from their art online.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm in various phases of my business. So I'm starting a new phase in my art business at the moment, and that's the one-on-one coaching.
Are you going to compete in the games with that group?
Yeah.
Do you want to compete? Yeah, yeah. Because, dude, I would love to see you finish in the top 10. Because there's a lot, let's be honest, right? And we love it. There's a lot of business type groups in school that typically, you know, do very well on the leaderboards. Dude, it would bring me so much joy to see an art school just kill it in the top 10. Yeah. That would be so awesome.
Well, I'd definitely like to, man, for sure. I mean, Yeah, it's exciting stuff. I think I only discovered Alex Hormozy last year, actually. That's when a friend recommended one of his audiobooks to me, which I've listened to. It's really good. I've listened to a couple of his books, audiobooks. But yeah, it's exciting. So you know what I find, because as I say, a lot of artists are very scared of the selling aspect of it, because you don't want to come across as like a sort of sleazy salesman, and I've definitely struggled with it as well myself over the years. I'm getting a lot more like confident with it, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
We want to paint. That's our main thing. We want to paint and inspire others, but I guess the sales part can be a real obstacle for people. So as I said, I've been trying to get comfortable being uncomfortable. So challenging myself to, create new things in order to make money from it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it in making money from your art, because if you're making money and then you're able to like give back by teaching people, it's like everyone wins, if you see what I mean.
Sure. And I don't know where the whole starving artist badge of honor came from, where yeah, it's like there was like this weird divorce between commerce and creativity at like any of the like the Michelangelo stuff. But like, dude, these guys were freaking killing it. Yeah, like they were selling their sculptures for like what would be the equivalent of like millions. So you know what I mean? It's like, and I think that it allows you to do the art more and bigger and better and take it to the next level, you know? So yeah. I love your philosophy. I am curious though, like talking about like the business side of school, where it's like, okay, it's clear to me if I pay, $1,000 a month to be part of this school, I might get a return on investment that's X, Y, and Z. There's kind of like a logic component there. How do you go about putting a price on something like a painting? Because that painting could be, and your website, you sell paintings for under $1,000. You sell paintings for over $6,000. And it's like, how do you go about put in a price on your art? So you move away from what I would consider like the logic side of business, and you move into a new category.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's another thing that's taken me quite a few years to determine what my prices should be. And when I started selling my paintings, I sold them pretty cheap, which I don't think is a bad idea if you're an emerging artist. But generally, the way I price my paintings is I actually measure it on like per square inch, or like I'll roughly base it. So I'll say, like, for example, I'll charge $6 per square inch, and then it's not set in stone either, but it might get to a point where the painting's quite a lot bigger, and I'm still using the sort of $6 per square inch formula, but I feel like I'm not quite charging enough. And then I'll just up the price a little bit more. And the other thing that I do as well, and I think you should be willing to do this as an artist, is, some people do negotiate on price, which I'm also willing to do as well. I wouldn't ever like publicly discount a price on a painting, because it undermines the people that have paid full price for art.
Yeah.
I think art's one of those things where it's probably not a good idea to put it on sale, if you see what I mean. But I'm always in private willing to negotiate on things, and especially when I do compositions. But that's how I price my work. But I mean,
do you ever just look at a piece and you're like, holy crap, that's just awesome. Like, I need to make that more expensive. Like this one here, I love this one. Is that the one that's behind you? Like, I love this painting. Like, I look at this, I'm just like, if I painted this, I'm like, yeah, that's a 10K boy right there.
I mean, I don't have it for sale as much as that, but I mean, slowly over the years, I've been putting my prices up. But it's one of those things. You know what, over the last few years, I haven't really focused much on selling my art. It's really all been about the teaching and, the Patreon community I had for ages, and now my school groups. But this year, I would like to spend a bit more time just focusing on selling artworks online, and more so because I'd like to be able to be in a better position of authority to teach it, because I can, I've sold paintings online, I've sold paintings through Instagram, you know, sold them off my website, sold them in real life, sold them through galleries, but I've never done it consistently because for the last few years I've been working on the online side of things and the teaching aspect of it. And for me, it's all about the joy of painting. So, that's why it's always been, I'd like to be able to make a living without having to worry about selling paintings. But it's definitely nice when you make painting sales, for sure. So this year I will, when I'm a bit more free time, focus a bit more on selling art online. I mean, that's another thing for artists as well. It's gone on the days are you have to be in a gallery, otherwise you're not going to make.
Dude, I wrote down in the show notes here, like, become a full-time artist without going to art school. Like, and that's what school, SKOOL, is doing. Like, it's democratizing the whole thing. You don't need to go to university. You can join Sam's art school, learn how to paint, sell your paintings within 2 months. It's like, you know, you don't need to climb the corporate ladder, like you said earlier. It's democratized the whole thing. And I'm so here for it. And I love that guys like you are leading the way in this niche. And I think it's just really exciting for all of us.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, look, no disrespect to art school. I've met a lot of people that have been to art school and I'm like, what did they teach you?
Right.
Because they haven't got the basics down. And when I did A-level art, I wasn't ever taught the basics. And it's no wonder I floundered for years with my own paintings or whatever, because I was never taught the basics. And it's not too hard to learn it. I teach it in a way that's really easy to understand. And, you know, the people that have joined my school community and they're getting coaching from me, they're seeing results already. So yeah, in this day and age, absolutely. Like if you want to be, you know, a landscape painter or portrait painter or whatever, I mean, I teach landscape painting. That's my thing. But yeah, you can find a community like on school and literally pay a fraction of the price of what you would learn in, you know, an art school. And yeah, get your art career off to a running start, if you see what I mean, having spent a fraction of the price.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And actually get some like real world, you know, coaching from a real world artist that's making a living out of it, if you see what I mean. So totally, yeah, as I say, the beautiful thing about the internet and the beautiful thing about sites like school as well is people can share their skills and people can, I mean, I just feel like in the last few years, and even, you know, I'm in a few school groups, you know, Ted Carr's group, Contentpreneurs, which for me, just in this last few months, I've just learned so much about, you know, selling and how to, you know, dial in my offer and things like that. And just like actual practical strategies I've not heard it anywhere else. And in a lot of ways, it's pretty simple as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, dude, I could talk forever about this stuff.
100%, 100%. Final question, Sam. What advice would you give to someone who is just starting off on school?
Awesome. Well, it's good to, I think probably the best thing is just to start off with a free community and probably what you'll want to do. So whatever you're passionate about, especially if you want to monetize it, is you need to get comfortable being in front of a camera. It's the day and age we live in. We live in the age of everyone's got a camera now. We've got social media, we've got Instagram, YouTube. So start getting in front of a camera and showcasing what you're doing. And then when you start building up an audience, then start getting people into a free school community and just engage with the people in your community. Give them lots of stuff away for free, especially, you know, make some courses. You could even go live, you know, on Zoom in your free community and just build up that engagement. And then after a while, when your audience gets bigger and you can then take it on to the next stage and then you can create a paid community. So I really truly see the benefits now in a free community. I've only had my free community just for a few months. I'll be honest, I was kind of really skeptical about the idea to start with, but since I've done it, it's really, really beneficial. And it feels good giving stuff away for free, actually.
Yeah, it does.
That's what I would do. So get comfortable being in front of a camera. Start sharing, you know, whatever you're passionate about. Start sharing it on Instagram and YouTube. Those are probably the two best platforms. And then once you're starting to build up some engagement and an audience, then start inviting people to a free school community. And then you've got them in there. Give them loads of stuff away for free. Get the engagement up. Do some Zoom calls with them, and then you can move on to the next stage and start up, you know, a paid community or doing one-on-one coaching or both. But yeah, it takes a bit of time, but you just as long as you keep chipping away at it, you know, even if you've got a full-time job, just do it on the side and just start taking those steps to move to in that direction. That's what I did. I just picked up work as and when I need it. You know, if I was low on money, I'd just go and, you know, do some, you know, pick up a part-time job or whatever. For me, it was, you know, with my painting, it was about getting my skill level up for one, and yeah. I needed that, you know, to get that brush mileage in. But yeah, that's what I would do anyway with a school community. But yeah, definitely get on school for sure.
Phenomenal.
Well, if you're listening to this, there'll be a link to Sam's school in the link, wherever it is, in the description on YouTube or on Spotify. There'll also be a link to start a free trial on school. And Sam, other than that, just want to say thank you, dude, for everything you've shared, both personal, professional, really, really good insights there. And love that brush mileage at the end there. I'm definitely going to steal that. That's so cool.
I had an artist say that to me, brush mileage. I mean, it applies to anything that you're doing, really. It's just, you know, you've got to work on your craft for a little bit, if you see what I mean.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sam, thanks, dude. Appreciate it.
Cheers. Thanks for that.